Jesse just asked me to do this like 5 minutes ago, and I'm really nervous. I've never done this before, and so sorry if I don't make any sense or if it's not coherent. I'm just going to try my best. My sobriety date is September 22nd, 2017. I have a home group. It is with Room to Grow. We meet on Saturday mornings at 10:30 at Bayshore Presbyterian. It's a really good meeting. You should come. It's always funny. I am actively sponsored, and I've worked the 12 steps. I guess I just start with, like, the beginning. I'm from Fredericksburg, Virginia, which is outside of D.C., and I grew up with two very loving parents. Both of them are principals, so they were very strict. I'm the oldest of four, and I had a really great childhood. But my family, my grandfather was a VP of sales for Miller, so there was always Miller Lite, Miller High Life around. Like, we had, like, art on our walls that was Miller. Like, when I was in third grade, I drew this, like, we had to draw a picture of our, like, favorite family vacation, and I, like, drew a picture of, like, everybody drinking on the beach and, like, a big Miller umbrella, and my family, like, framed it and gave it to my grandfather. So that was kind of, like, is the culture of, like, my bigger family. And so, like, beer was just, like, always cool ever since, like, I could remember. So that was kind of, like, a big influence on my life. And when I was in eighth grade, I had my first Miller Lite, and when I did, it felt awesome, and I loved it, and I got super drunk, and I threw up, and I wanted to do it again for sure. And so then from there, I pretty much started drinking in high school, like every weekend, and other drugs too, just like partying all the time. And the Big Book kind of talks about this like Jekyll and Hyde life, and that was definitely something I can relate to. I with my parents being principals, I was like, I had this like school life where I was like president of my class and like homecoming queen and like all area athlete, like all of these like things that I was involved in. And then I had like my drinking party life. When I was drinking, like, in high school, I pretty much blacked out every time I drank, and I thought that was, like, really cool and, like, funny and, like, I don't know, just, I liked it. It was just, like, a part of me. And when I was 17, the state of Virginia told me I was an alcoholic. I got arrested and blew, like, something super high. I don't know what it was, but I was blacked out at the time, and I got taken to jail, and my parents had to come pick me up. And that was, I don't remember of any of that, but the next morning, I was super embarrassed and super depressed, and then I got my license taken away, like, my whole entire senior year of high school, which was, like, super embarrassing, because I was, like, involved in all of these things, and people had to drive me everywhere. And, like, everybody knew about it, so that sucked. And then, but I still kept drinking, and I had to go to AA meetings for a year, and I had to go to, like, I had to get drug tested, and I had to, like, go to these, like, groups with, like, girl, like, all girls that were, like, under the age of 18, and, like, everybody had, like, house arrest bracelets on, and I just thought I was, like, better than everybody, and I didn't think that I had a drinking problem. I just thought I, like, was a party girl. And so I, like, didn't pay attention to any of those meetings that I had to go to, like, for a year, which is insane because I've almost been sober a year now, and, like, the amount of stuff I've gotten from the meetings is just, like, incredible. So that was just, like, turned off the, like, my channel to God at that time. And then when I went to college, I wanted to go to college where, like, I had no rules, and my parents, like, couldn't give me a curfew, and I could party all the time. So definitely wanted to go to the SEC. And I went to the University of South Carolina, go Gamecocks. And that's where, like, my alcoholism really took off. You could drink every night of the week for really cheap. I loved it. And that's where I got my nickname, Blackout Butters. My last name is Butters, and that's where that started, and I thought that was really cool in college too, because I blacked out probably 5 or 6 nights a week. But I was still, like, living that Jekyll and Hyde life. Like, I could still, I wasn't getting bad hangovers at that point in time. Like, I would just wake up every morning and run 3 miles, and that was, like, my hangover cure, and I thought that was, like, really cool that I could do that. And so I could still, like, maintain good grades, and I was, like, super involved on campus and, like, worked a lot and, like, did all the student leadership stuff. So it was, like, I still had these two lives, this, like, party life and then this, like, life that God had planned for me, but I was, like, fucking up because of my drinking. And that just, like, it escalated. I'm trying to think of consequences, but I had so many consequences. Like, the school put me on, like, probation because I got in trouble, had to go to all these alcohol classes. I got in trouble with my sorority a ton. Like, I was on, like, this thing they call standards, which is where you're, like, supposed to behave, and I, like, never behaved because I always had to, like, be on top of a bar, like, taking my clothes off. So I always was in trouble with them and, like, having to do extra shit because I would get in trouble. And then I sat on a grill at, like, this boat party, and I got third-degree burns on my butt. It was horrible. That was a, like, physical consequence. That was awful. I was, like, in the hospital. And then I couldn't walk for, like, a couple days, and I was, like, all wrapped up. And that's the first time my mom was, like, maybe you shouldn't try to stop drinking. And I was, like, heck no. Like, this is cool, right? And I just kept having, like, injury consequences during college. Like, nothing with the law, but a lot of, like, I had a concussion because I fell on the stairs. I had that burn. I was, like, always hurt, and I was always sick because I was drinking. And so that was just, like, a mess and a blur, and I don't really remember any of that, like, time of my life clearly, so I'm not going to speak much more about it. But then after I graduated, Morgan said something that night when she was speaking that spoke to me, so maybe this will speak to somebody else. But, like, I remember this really clearly. When I was graduating, we had this, like, big going-away party for our sorority, and, like, they said, like, good things about everybody and, like, went around and, like, talked about, you know, people and the good things they'd done. And, like, when they got to me, everybody just started, like, saying all the crazy-ass shit that I did. Like, I remember this time with Butters. I remember this time with Butters. Like, remember when we had to, like, pick her up from here, or she was, like, found on the street here, and I was about to go, like, do this program called Teach for America and, like, be a teacher, and I thought that was, like, really great. And it's, like, I just remember that was, like, a moment of clarity where it was, like, I was being, like, shamed for all of the shit I did when I was drinking, but then I had this, like, other part of me that, like, wanted to be good and, like, wanted to do good, and I was, like, how am I going to be, like, a role model for people when, like, this is what people think about me? And I was, like, maybe, like, when I go to Mississippi, I'll stop drinking. And that didn't happen. I don't know if any of you have been to the Mississippi Delta, but there's not much there besides liquor stores. And the town that I lived in had, like, a 4-way stop sign, a liquor store, and a gas station, and a bar. And so I was mostly at the liquor store, the gas station, or the bar, and I was teaching, but, and I was still, like, able to kind of, like, maintain, like, my job at that point in time the first year. But then it started getting really bad, like, my second year of teaching, and, like, I would come in super hungover. Like, I remember my kids would be like, Miss Butters, like, you smell like my mom does when she goes to the club, and, like, stuff like that, and it was really embarrassing, and, like, but I just, like, thought it was funny. And I remember, like, just some really low points. Like, I would, like, be teaching, and I would have to, like, run to the bathroom and, like, throw up, and then I'd be, like, looking at myself in the mirror, like, crying, like, what are you doing? Like, how are you being a teacher? And then, like, you, like, can't even, like, stand up in front of the classroom because you have to throw up. But, like, those things, like, I mean, I would, like, have these moments of clarity, but my obsession to drink, like, did, like, overruled that. And, like, my third year I was teaching, my principal, like, knew I was going to be late and probably smell like alcohol, so she gave me, like, first period planning so that, like, I could, like, sober up by the time, like, the kids got to my classroom. And this is, like, there is not a lot of teachers in Mississippi. Like, there's not a lot of resources, so, like, my principal was just happy that I was, like, a warm body in the classroom at that point in time. So she's like, whatever you need, like, just, like, we'll do it for you. So that was, like, really, I don't know, just weird, I guess. Like, I thought I was doing all of this good stuff, but then, like, I was, like, having to, like, have first period planning so that I could, like, stop being hungover. So that sucked. And then there was a guy that I taught with there who was, he's actually has 7 years sober now, and he, like, told me this is another moment of clarity. He told me one day, he's like, one day you're going to need me and call me when you do. And so, like, along the line, I would have, like, moments like that, but, like, I never wanted to stop drinking, or it was never, like, this is not, like, I'm going to stop one day. I just, like, thought it was a part of my life. I thought that's, like, what my life was going to be, just, like, being hungover and, like, trying to work. And then, like, after my third year in Mississippi, I was like, okay, like, maybe, like, I need to, like, try to stop drinking, and so I'm, like, going to move back home. So I moved back to D.C. Oh, I have 5 minutes left. Wow, this is fast. Okay, I'm going to talk about the solution now. Anyway, I moved to D.C. and taught there, same thing, and then I decided I wanted to go back to school, so I went to school, and when I, went to the orientation day, on the table, there was, like, this, like, little activity thing of things going on campus, and I saw this, like, who's in recovery. And at, like, UVA, where I went to grad school, they have a student recovery group. And about 3 months into grad school, I, like, went to a meeting because I was, like, so desperate. And that's the first time I, like, found out that there were other people that, like, had this problem that I do. But I didn't go to AA meetings. I just went to these, like, who's in recovery meetings, and I did that for 3 months. And that was, like, the proudest I had ever been of myself. But then I, like, relapsed and started drinking again. I drank for another year, and it was really, really bad that year. Like, I was blacking out. Like, I would have 2 drinks and black out. Like, I never knew what was going to happen. I was scared all the time. I couldn't stop drinking. I was, like, hungover every day, like, horribly. And then when I finished, like, somehow, by the grace of God, I finished. I don't know how. I was like, I need to move, and I need to get sober. And I have a friend who lives here whose brother's in the program, and she was like, move down here, and you can, like, try to get sober. And I moved down here, and I was still drinking, and I went home for Hurricane Katrina, and when I came back, I stopped in Savannah, and I had this, like, really bad bender, and I woke up in, like, my throat up, like, naked outside of my hotel room, and I was just like, this is it, like, this is horrible, I need to get sober. So I, like, called my friend who is in the program, and he said, you need to go to a meeting tomorrow, and you need to get a sponsor by the end of the weekend. And that's what I did. I went to my first meeting at my home group, and it was amazing. God was there. Like, people were talking to me. And I was at just such a low point that I thought I'd give it a shot. And so I found my sponsor. Like, a day later, she was, like, the only person that talked to me, and I was like, will you be my sponsor? And it actually ended up working out. She's exactly what I needed. Like, God knows exactly what I need, and he gave her to me. She's so kind, and I need someone to, like, baby me. I'm very sensitive, so it was perfect, and she took me through the steps, and I am just, like, the happiest I've ever been. I love this program. I love having God in my life. I never really had God or faith or anything like that. I am maybe going to cry. I don't know. I just, like, this program has done so much for me, and it's all been one day at a time. Like, the steps came one day at a time. My faith came one day at a time. Like, my clarity came one day at a time. Me being able to stand up and do this came one day at a time. And this solution is just, like, the only thing that's ever worked for me. And I'm just happy that I have a place where I can relate to other people. And, like, God has just put so many great people in my life. Like, I didn't know Morgan was in the program, and we worked together, and, like, she has been, like, my saving grace, like, guardian angel, and just, like, so many other people. And, like, that's, like, how God speaks to me through people. So, like, keep coming back if you're new. It works. It's amazing. I love you guys. That's all I have. Thank you.